Distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an imperative issue that I believe we need to understand. I'm passionate about it. I think you can share that in the voice and the expressions that I'm exhibiting today. I believe we need to recognize that this election is going to be vital for our nation, and especially for the state of Florida with the six amendments that are there for us to vote on. We'll talk about the entire six amendments in the next few days, but Amendment 3 is what we're talking about today. Amendment 3 is an amendment that, if passed, will make it a constant, hear me, it won't just be law, it will be a constitutional right for marijuana use in the state of Florida. I cannot express to you the harm, the danger, the damage that will take place to our great state if this is passed. And it may, if it passes, it has to have at least 63% vote, 61% vote. And that would indicate that it would take Christians, conservatives, and patriots to vote for it to pass. And therefore, I'm passionate about it. I'm concerned about it. We have today with us Lawrence Perkins. Lawrence is with an organization called Keep Florida Fresh, and I'm thankful that he's with us. Lawrence, just before the news, we were touching on some of the issues, and let me just set the stage with, I'm looking at the headline, Is Marijuana Bad for the Health? Here's what we know. And I have just looked at this three-page article with data and facts, and I've summarized it. I'm going to lay this out and then let you run with it and talk about the impact. In fact, in one of the articles that you have on Keep Florida Fresh, you talked about the vulnerability of the youth developing minds, the change of the potency of the THC available today, and the argument of alcohol versus marijuana. Those are the areas that you've broken down on your website with that. But I'm looking at this massive article about marijuana bad for the health. It affects the memory, causes memory loss, causes heart failure, causes clogged arteries, male fertility is impacted, psychosis, lung cancer, schizophrenia, depression, low academic performances in school, stillbirths, defects in the babies as they're born if the parents are using marijuana. And now I know that this is supposed to be, Lawrence, as they're promulgating it, only for adults. Is it possible for children to get it? Is it possible for adolescents to get the marijuana? Is it possible that it will be used by more than just the adults? And before you respond to those statements and questions, I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over your question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, I appreciate what you're saying and everything, but I want to insert something that the gentleman before was talking about. In the Truth Book, which we say is the Bible, some of your words, I believe.
Amen.
Genesis, God, the last thing he created was man, and that was on the sixth day. And he started in the Garden of Eden. destroying man if he could. He's been doing that ever since. Now we have six amendments on our voting thing this time. Six is a number that is associated with the influence of Satan over man. Do you think there may be some legitimacy to that?
It could very well be. Well, we understand when you look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, it's the 666. That's the man-centered man. That's the major emphasis there, is it is the centrality of humanism, which is man being in control. And so you're absolutely right with that thought.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your dialogue and discussion on it, jumping in. Lawrence, pick up the rein, if you will, and just run with it for a moment and answer some of those questions. Is it harmful? Is it possible? Because this, all of these slick ads say that this is for adults to be able to get safe, lab-tested, produced marijuana, etc. What about the products that are made by the marijuana industry, the gummy bears, etc., etc.? Go into all of those details for our listeners.
Dr. Youngblood, one of the things that is very significant is the change in cannabis over the last 30 years. The potency rate of THC, the psychoactive component, is profoundly accelerated. One of the things that truly boasts in its Quincy facility here in Florida is that 3 years ago they were producing at 15%. Now they're able to produce at over 28%. But that's not the limit to the to what's available. What happens with using a process, they basically leach the THC out and then can produce it in gummies and also vape liquids, mm-hmm. such that it gets up above 90%. That creates a psychoactive impact on the brain that destroys the cannabinoid receptors, and especially in youth and developing minds, it can permanently reduce their IQ, permanently push them into psychosis, especially those that already have predispositions. The amount of damage that can be done to a young brain is profound. And what has happened is more and more and more, this has become widely available. As alcohol used to permeate some adolescents, venture into intoxication, the vapes and gummies have made that so much easier. Mm-hmm. The ability to share it among others, since regardless of how they do it. And I'm going to step off the subject for just 1 second and talk about one of the things that the media has so effectively done is focused on the shooters and the trying to prohibit the use of what they call assault weapons. They do not look at the relationship between cannabis use and cannabis use disorder for those situations. The household in Winder, Georgia, the father was a heavy user of cannabis. The other things that happen within those families has a significant impact on their ability to function, and high use among youth and high use among developing minds permanently retards and creates a proclivity to psychoses and including schizophrenia. Those are just things that the American Medical Association has published documentation on. The mental health and the impact on suicide rates and the impact on just basic functionality has gone up extreme over the last number of years. Cannabis intoxication can lead to behavioral disinhibition and alter perceptions and judgment, impaired memory, elevated psychological, including paranoia. Collectively, these factors can heighten the violence proclivity and increase vulnerability to violence. Now, having said that, the practical things that impact us from what it costs us for auto insurance to the service and operations and the ability for businesses to operate and function are all going to be impacted because...
Explain that. How will businesses be impacted if potheads, as I want to call them, want to use marijuana? How does that impact the business? Secondly, linked inextricably with that, how will that impact law enforcement if a person is using marijuana, they're behind the steering wheel? Go into those issues because I believe our listeners need to understand the serious aspect of this amendment if it is passed.
Well, there's a difference between alcohol, cigarette use, and what they propose for marijuana, making it a constitutional right. Right now, there are all kinds of laws and the ability for businesses and proprietorships to eliminate the use of some of those on the premises, and as part of the workforce.
For clarification for that, Lawrence, if I can jump in, if a person uses alcoholic beverages and he comes in drunk, the owner of the business can fire him. Conversely, if this passes and a person is high on marijuana and it's a constitutional right, can that business fire him? Can that business say, I'm not going to take your application, you can't work for me, et cetera? How will that affect it?
Well, one of the things that we expect is that the characteristics of marijuana being residing in the bloodstream and being part of an after effect that can last up to a week or more, that you can't differentiate between when the intoxication was initiated. Mm-hmm. And so if they have a constitutional right to smoke, then do you have the ability to limit that in their lives? And we expect that that will open up lawsuits and other things. If you have a a fork truck driver that comes, and while he may not have smoked on site, mm-hmm. but if he arrives and you don't have the ability to test and say that he deliberately was intoxicated, because it could be latent within his system because of a week ago, mm-hmm. that opens up the business to the to lawsuits saying that you can't prohibit their working.
It gets back to the term a constitutional right. If that is the constitutional right, then businesses cannot infringe upon that constitutional right. Just like we have the right to keep and bear arms, you can't infringe upon that right. And that's what I see as a major, major, major danger. And Lawrence, I'm thinking about the deep research that I've done. You know, you have out the left coast, as I call it, state, Washington State, Oregon, and California and Colorado, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I've delved in very deeply in the research on Colorado. And after they approved recreational marijuana, all crimes combined went up 547%. Loss of homes through foreclosure, people not paying the rent, not paying the house payment, spousal abuse, teen deaths, teen injuries, where the hospitals were filled with emergency rooms with teenagers because they got a hold of mom and dad's marijuana-laced chewing gum, gummy bears, chocolate chip cookies, etc. And these ads that are saying it is lab-tested and controlled, there's no zip zero, no evidence that I've studied, no evidence whatsoever that there's any control over how much THC goes into a gummy bear or a chocolate chip cookie or a stick of bubble gum that a child can get a hold to, and yet they're saying it's for adults. Speak to that and the dangers that we see with that.
Well, there are a couple of things. One, in every state where this has been legalized, and whether it's by the legislature or otherwise, in every state, the black market mm-hmm. Has exploded.
Yes.
The cartels, the others that go in and permeate the non-regulated or non-licensed facilities explode. The entire infrastructure for policing that has yet to be crafted. The entire infrastructure for defining how this is going to operate. If this were to pass, you'd only have 6 months to try to frame and craft all of that in a legislature that is influenced sometimes by money.
So what you're saying, if this passes, the legislature would have to then play catch up with 6 months of trying to craft rules and regulations and guidelines and laws to implement and to protect we the people, the citizens, from the dangers, the devastation that it will cause. And again, I go back to Colorado in particular, looking at it, and the law enforcement there cannot control. Lawrence, is there any way a police officer stops a car from, I call it zigzagging on the highway, if he stops it, there's a breathalyzer can be done for alcoholic beverage. Is there any way to test a person and their marijuana use like that?
Well, unfortunately, there isn't an effective way of doing that because, again, the argument can be made that the residual in the system, in the blood test, came from something quite a bit prior. One of the things that that has happened, though, in the state of Florida is the fatality rate among cannabis-related accidents is roughly 10 times that mm-hmm. of alcohol-related accidents. Now, there are many, many times by a factor, more alcohol-related accidents, but the seriousness of the accidents is significantly higher, and the fatality rate is significantly higher for cannabis-related accidents. In Canada, since legalization in 2018, the documented marijuana-related traffic accidents required treatment in an emergency room rose 475% between 2010 and 2021. Car crashes in that same time grew less than 10% in the same time period. Those are raw numbers, and again, the alcohol count may be higher, but the seriousness and the impact of those, because one thing that that the marijuana users perceive is that they have a higher awareness, and so they extend themselves, but their ability and their motor skills are greatly encumbered.
That's right.
And so the impact of an accident is profoundly more serious in many, many, many cases.
Absolutely. When it comes to law enforcement, Lawrence, and the studies that I've done in relationship to it in Colorado, California, Washington State, Oregon, et cetera, if law, let's say, for example, if a law enforcement stops a driver and he's inebriated from alcoholic beverages, we have laws that says you cannot drink and drive. But I go back to the fact that if this is a constitutional right, law enforcement stop a person that's puffing on his vape pipe or a joint or whatever it's called with the marijuana. He has a right to do that. So how is the law enforcement going to be able to enforce the law of protecting we the people on the highways if you are trying to stop a person from exercising his right to use the marijuana? Therein lies the major, major dilemma that, as I see it, and the future of our state. And what will this do, if this is passed, about the importation of and the coming in from across America from other states to come into the state of Florida to get their marijuana, etc.? How will that impact Florida, the Florida life, and the serenity that we have in life in the state of Florida?
Dr. Youngblood, that's a great question. One of the things that Trulieve and the big cannabis growers look at Florida as not just the 21 plus million residents, but the 160 million or so visitors that we get every year. Mm-hmm. I just recently watched a package from Denver News 7, Channel 7 there, and what they talk about are the pot migrants. They basically, the people that come into the state for access to recreational pot, and they basically just take over through all the good weather months, and then the cold weather basically drives them out, and they can't live on the street. They go out to California or they go to other locations during that window. Florida doesn't have that, and so what we're going to have is an influx of these pot migrants, and they're just going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the impact of that and how law enforcement deals with that, I believe that the governor and the legislature are trying to be proactive in enacting anti-camping laws. However, when you have an overwhelming number of individuals that are going to be coming, millions coming into the state, it is going to be very, very, very expensive for for local jurisdictions.
The bottom line, there's going to be a major impact on the taxpayers for the state of Florida. In fact, I'm looking at a statement by Governor DeSantis. It says, Governor DeSantis decried the misrepresentation of the actual amendment text compared with the sanitized summary that will appear on the ballot in November. He pointed out the elevation of the individual's new right of to smoke pot will create legal issues for businesses and property owners, potentially opening up legal challenges that impact the ability to conduct business in the state of Florida. And by the way, Lawrence, in my research and study just for the state of Colorado, for example, they bragged about the amount of tax money that legalized marijuana would bring in. Many states focus on that as being the real cherry, the apple, if you please, that causes them to want to pass such as this. In Colorado, for every $1 they take in taxes, they spend $3.50 in social services as a result of the marijuana. How do you view that has been the potentiality in the state of Florida? Will it be something that will be ultimately a burden on the taxpayers? If it's a constitutional right, then will the taxpayers have to pick up the tab to make sure that everybody has the availability of that? What do you see as the future?
Well, one thing that we know is that that infrastructure for allocating those tax revenues, those theoretical tax revenues, mm-hmm. is not in place. A tax rate hasn't been established. Anything related to how those revenues would be sequestered or applied and go back into supporting law enforcement. But you brought up Colorado. I believe that they found that for every dollar of revenues that were generated on taxes, that they basically spend $4.50.
Okay.
What a flip.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, many of the elements that impact our daily lives, what we spend on just daily living will be impacted. I want to bring up legalization of marijuana in Florida will be likely an ecological disaster in ways that individuals don't really comprehend. Growing marijuana has a carbon footprint that easily exceeds most polluting industries. Colorado State University resources write that the greenhouse gas emissions of Colorado's marijuana industry, that's 2.6 megatons of carbon dioxide, exceed those of the state's coal mining industry. There are several studies that estimate the indoor cannabis cultivation in the United States alone consumes more electricity than 19 entire states.
Mm.
The growth, the indoor growth in Quincy, Florida, the power consumed by that facility eclipses everything else around it. It takes 18 times more power to manage that facility than it does to grow other types of vegetables indoor.
Mm-hmm.
The impact on the local grid is
enormous,
greater than that of a data center, mm-hmm. which is profound.
Let's do a little transition for a moment. Our time is rapidly depleting. I'm concerned when I see almost no pastors standing in the pulpit speaking on this. I'm concerned when I see there's no, seemingly, at least from an obvious standpoint, no interest from Christian organizations and churches to take a public stand against this. What are your words? What do you want to say to pastors, to Christians, to conservatives, to just families in relationship to this issue and how we should view it and what we should do?
Well, the world has intimidated many, many, many pulpits against speaking to politics. That's unfortunate. I appreciate the boldness that your ministry and many others hold. But one of the things that I hear consistently is they don't really deal with political issues. Amendment 3 and Amendment 4 destroy families.
Yes.
This is a moral issue.
Yes.
This is an imperative.
Yes.
Where we stand in the gap. Either we are going to take the watchman's position in Ezekiel seriously and recognize that we have to stand in the gap for those that aren't aware or don't realize the dangers that they face. What happens when you dumb down an entire generation. As we have with the school systems, now looking at cannabis and gummies and THC in vapes and in any other formats, those are traps to suck in and damage the ability of our young people.
It's a demonic delusion. Let me put it this way. I've watched some of these super slick Madison Avenue productions on television promoting Amendment 3. And the average person looking at it would think, well, you know, I have a right to choose what I want to smoke, drink, or to eat or chew, do. I'm of age. Why can you take my right away from me? So I have that right. It's a constitutional right. I want my rights. Do you see that as a major, major arrogancy that is a demonic delusion that can cause people to vote the wrong way, not realizing the impact presently and future tense of what it will do to our city, our state, and for our families and the future of our families? What do you say to that? What do you challenge moms and dads? Moms and dads might say, well, I can use that. What do you say to those that will have their sons or daughters destroyed as a result of it?
Well, one thing that we know is that there are things and behaviors that are damaging to us. And one of the things over the last 50 years, we've seen a decline in people using smoke and how the government got involved and tried to deter smoking. This is every bit as damaging, except not just to the ability to breathe and the vulnerability to lung cancer and other things, but the mental capabilities are profoundly eroded in the young people. And as you've pointed out before, the dark side of the world seeks to control individuals and control the populace by dumbing it down.
Absolutely. And I'm looking at a statistical document. Marijuana use alters the senses, alters the sense of time, alters the changes in the moods, impaired body movement, difficulty with thinking and problem solving, impaired memory, hallucinations, delusion, psychosis, etc., etc. You touched on, and we didn't get into the depth of it a little earlier, all of these major shootings that we've seen, the individual pulling the trigger were on some type of psychotropic drugs, marijuana or otherwise, and yet it seems that the law enforcement and others, the politicians don't recognize that, do not play that into what we see here. And if this is passed, it will increase that. It's not the weapon, but it will increase the psychosis and the psychotic moves of some of these youngsters today that's going out shooting people and having mass murders. So, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, vote no on Amendment 3. We need to say no. As Christians, conservatives, patriots need to stand up and say no. Thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today, ladies and gentlemen. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. The Florida-Georgia Truth